Okay, we begin Parshas Maaseh, and we begin by noting Eila Maaseh B'nei Yisrael, that these are the travels of B'nei Yisrael. So why do we mention the travels of B'nei Yisrael here? So Ramban cites the Rambam, who notes that the mentioning of the Maaseh, of the travels, is as an antidote to future denials of the authenticity of Jewish history. So if it should so happen that someone should rise up in the future and deny the major steps that the Jews took in the Midbar, these stops will serve as a reminder of the major miracles that sustained B'nai Israel during the 40 years that they were in the desert. Thus, recalling the Derech is identified as a mitzvah, which we know to be true in the Book of Devarim. After all, the Torah says, "V'zacharta es kol haderech asher olichecha Hashem Elokecha," that there's a mitzvah, at least according to the Ramban, of remembering the Derech. So the late great Chevron Rosh Hashiva of Simcha Zissel Brady notes that there are different aspects to the mitzvah of Zechira. There's the concept of knowing the Hashgacha and the miracles that happened. There's the fact that one knows what it is in keeping the mitzvos, that there is schar, that there is reward. There's knowing the value of emunah, etc. But Rav Simcha Zissel also adds that this shows the dual importance of analyzing our lives as well. Not only to do tshuva, which we engage in when we do introspection at those moments in time that we're doing tshuva, but also to appreciate the hand of Hashem in our daily lives. V'zacharta es kol haderech, that we need to know the masos, we need to know the hand of Hashem. Why certain episodes happen to each of us, how we came to being where we came, what we can do with these experiences, and etc. These are all pieces that Rav Simcha Zissel considers part of the mitzvah of emunah. If we can appreciate Hashgacha, we won't only appreciate the destination, but the journey that it takes us to get there as well. So then the Torah tells us, Vayisume Refidim, and they Vayavo Midbar Sinai. They left Refidim, they came to Midbar Sinai. How could it be that every negative implication of the trip of Bnei Israel gets notation in the Parsha? But the most seminal episode that took place in the Midbar, Mamar Har Sinai, the receiving of the Torah, appears, and no reference to receiving the Torah is included. Wasn't that the most important part of the trip? So Rav Dov Eliezer of Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the former Rosh Kol of Karmiyam, later the Rav of Katamon, explains that the purpose of the list was to remind the future generations of things that happened on the trip that needed to be underscored. Mamar Har Sinai is such a seminal event, they'll never be denied. And since it'll never be denied, there's no need to underscore it. It doesn't have to be mentioned. Later we read that they traveled from Sinai, and they went, Vayachanu Bekivro Satava. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the late great Rav of Yerushalayim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains, the one who moves away from the Torah that was received at Sinai will always find himself in the burial ground of Tava, of desire. And thus, when we are Nosim Misinai, we come to Kivro Satava. The Gemara in Bava Metzia notes that Hashem answered the question, Amav Da'aretz, with the answer that it was due to the fact that the people left the study of Torah. Now elsewhere we're told that other Averos were utilized as the reason for the destruction and the subsequent galus. So why does Hashem say, Al-Azva Mes Torasi, they left my Torah? Says Ratzi Pesach Frank that it was the leaving of the Torah that allowed us to find the other activities acceptable within society. We need to realize that when we are attached to Torah and a Torah lifestyle, it keeps us bound on a proper derech. And when we don't, we fall lebe'er shachas. That's what we say at the Siyam. Anu ratzim l'chaye olam haba. When we learn Torah, we run to chaye olam haba. Behem ratzim lebe'er shachas. They fall into a never-ending abyss. Anyway, after we finish the Masaos, we read about the fact and the responsibility. Zosa aretz asher tipol lachem benachala. Why does the Torah use the word tipol, fall, in describing the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael? So Rashi notes that either it's just the result of a lottery, where the concept of nefila, falling out, is actually relevant, or because seven kings had to fall in order for us to receive the full Eretz Yisrael. The Sfasemis says it's a third possibility. The Sfasemis explains the connection between Eretz Yisrael, which we're told is Li, and B'nai Yisrael, which we're also told belongs to Hashem, Li B'nai Yisrael Avadim, which highlights the kesher between two things, the connection between two things that Hashem considers uniquely His. He shares His uniqueness from Eretz Yisrael Shalmala with when the jackpot of Am Yisrael be'Eretz Yisrael is achieved. And thus the word tipol, to fall, is utilized to tell us that when the land is truly in its ideal form, Zos Aretz Asher Tipol, it will fall from Yerushalayim Shalmala, and it will have its effect on Yerushalayim Shalmata. You know, the whole section that's introduced at the beginning of Perek Lamed Daled highlights the Gvulei Eretz Yisrael. Rishak used to ask us why the Torah spent so much time identifying the specifics of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Why is that considered Torah? Says Rav Shechter, Eretz Yisrael has an effect on the people, and the people in turn have an effect on the land. So knowing where Eretz Yisrael is and the awareness of what is ours is critical to establishing our bond with the land. Rav Shechter adds that when we're not in our land, our enemies can and never will be satisfied with it. If we're not sitting where we should be sitting, then all that winds up there are a bunch of borrowings in order to try to do something away from the land or take away with the land. Yet when we hold on to the land, there is a tremendous gratification and the land flourishes. Later on, we're told who the leaders who are going to be able to be involved in Chalukas Ha'aretz are. And when we get to the mentioning of each one, each Shevet is referred to as, or each Nasi is referred to as, Limatei B'nei. Each one, that is, except for the Shevet of Yehuda, Kaleb ben Yefune, and the Shevet of Menashe. In all the other cases, the Nisiyim were for B'nei, except for Yehuda, rather, and Binyamin. So Shlomo Zalman Zalesnik, one of the late great Rashi Yeshiva of the Eitz Chaim Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, explains that the reason for the difference is due to the fact that the other Nisim got their jobs simply because there was an opening due to job turnover. The older Nisim passed away, and so therefore it was the B'nai HaShevet who had to go ahead and step up to the plate. That was different than it was in the case of Yehuda, where Kalev remained Nasi, and Binyamin, where Eldad became the Nasi and remained the Nasi. In those two instances, there was no turnover due to passage of time. The Nisim earned their title, and as a result, they retained it even at this critical time in history as well. The Torah continues with the story of the Ari Miklat that Moshe was told to establish within the land. And the Torah tells us, V'krisem lachem arim, right? You should prepare them. The fact of the matter is, the more correct word for preparation is not lahakri. Hakri seems to denote the concept of happenstance. Usually one would say vehizmantem, and you should prepare the cities of refuge. So Gifter Zatzal explains that in truth, the vekrisen does imply a happenstance. In order to tell us that a situation of accidental death is not supposed to be a common situation in regard to B'nai Israel. Factor of Palm, you would often cite the fact that to a Jew every life has to be considered sacred, and every accidental death needs to be shocking, which will further keep the occurrence rates of these types of death to a minimum. Rav Gifter explains that here as well. One needs to see accidental death as an aberration. At the same time, the governmental system needs to be prepared to know what to do when it happens by having the Ari Miklat. So on the one hand, one needs to have the Krisem. We need to see it as a situation that is not one that will happen, but the government has to have the organizational structure set aside just in case it happens. As an aside, that's one of the fundamental differences between us and our neighbors around the world. We see the sacred nature of life, and every life is precious to us, ours or the others. And so therefore, we need to understand and appreciate even accidental death being serious within our eyes. Halavai that the world should understand that, and much tzar that we experience around the world as Jews be mitigated today. Towards the end of that parak, the Torah tells us, "Velosit tamuas saaretz." Right, we have to be careful not to defile the land asher atem besocham that we are living in. Roshol Yisraeli Zechat Tzadok Livrocha would often cite the Medrash at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, where the Sifri tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells among Bnei Yisrael, even when they are Tamei, HaShochein, Itam, V'sochtum, Osam. Yet that the same thing is true for the land. Even when it looks like the land doesn't have Kedusha to it, Hashem's Kedusha is in the land. It's not always pretty, and it's also not always pretty apparent. But Hashem does not leave His land, and Hashem does not leave His people. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo, v'nachaloso lo ya'azov. This statement alone provides us with the tremendous opportunity to declare chazak chazak, to remind us and ourselves to be strong, especially at these periods in time, and to derive strength from the chizak we give one another. Finally, in the Haftorah that we'll read this coming Shabbos, which is the second of the three Haftorahs of Paranios, of difficulty, Yirmiyahu continues his rebuke of Bnei Yisrael on their line towards the Churban. And Yirmiyahu points out that one of the aspects that happened is the failing of the leadership. The Kohanim didn't ask, Ayyei Hashem. The priest didn't say to the people, where is God? Yirmiyahu rebukes the generally lax attitude towards Aveira allowed by the Jewish leadership. The first people he chastises are the Kohanim because, as Rav Beni Lau Shalita explains, the education responsibility for the people begins with them. As Moshe Rabbeinu declares, Yoru l'mishpatecha l'Yaakov, part of the job of being a Kohen is to teach the people. In the end of the period of Bayis Rishon of the first temple period, the Kohanim chose instead to focus on their roles as Ovdim in the Beis HaMikdash, as those who serve God in the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps, allow me to suggest, that this may provide us with our connection to the Parsha itself. After all, the Parsha is one that highlights the story of the Ir Miklat, a Parsha where the freedom of the Rotzeach is dependent upon the death of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, in an ideal situation, never turns his back on any member of Am Yisrael. He's with them and lives among them up until his last dying day. Yoru Mishpatech Ali Yaakov. He represents the responsibility not only to be in the ivory tower, but to go ahead and teach and affect every single one of us. And when that is an ideal situation, then there is much less. There is only a hikrisem, a chance possibility of a challenge. When unfortunately even the Kohanim accept death as an ongoing process and refuse to rebuke the people, then unfortunately a lot of potential for damage exists among the Jewish people. In the end of the days, hello, we seek out an opportunity for not only general leadership to inspire us, but the nature of Am Yisrael to be strong. Chazak, chazak, we declare, v'nis chazek. When we are strong and offer strength to one another, we will indeed become strengthened in the process. Ad biyasko al tzedek v'hola, b'mehi ravi aminu, Shabbat shalom.